Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is July the 8th, 2016. It is, what is today? Is today Friday? I believe today is Friday. Today is Friday, the last day of the work week for those that are fortunate enough to be able to just work a 40-hour-a-week job Monday through Friday. You know, a lot of people, man, they have to work way more than 40 hours just to survive. So today, wow, where to start? As the world seems to be in shock as numerous Dallas police officers were killed or wounded last night. Some are said to be in critical condition, as well as two civilians were shot as well at a peaceful demonstration against police terrorism in Dallas last night, against the police terrorism that is claiming far too many lives of people from all walks of life. So that is one thing I want to stress. While black people are the most killed by police, we are not the only ones that's being killed by police. And I think there is a deliberate effort on behalf of corporate media to only focus on the black victims and not any other victims, because they don't want other people who can empathize with people looking like them also recognizing the fact that war is being waged on them as well. Not at the same level as is being waged against black people, but it's being waged nonetheless. These are facts. They should not even be in dispute. Okay, people from all walks of life, from all different types of religious backgrounds, economic backgrounds, they may live in the inner city, they may live in the suburbs, nowhere is safe from slave catchers killing you. So do want to acknowledge that right off the bat. Now, so I'm just going to host an open forum today. I do have some related news and one other news update concerning Hillary Clinton that I want to share with you today. But pretty much, let's just have an open forum discussion if anybody cares to share their thoughts, observations on what occurred last night in Dallas, and not only what happened in Dallas, but what happened in Minnesota as they still protesting. They've been protesting all throughout the night in Minnesota after the young brother was murdered by a cop after trying to retrieve his license from his pocket, as he was directed to do by the cop, and the cop shot him and killed him. So they still demonstrating up there, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Lots of activity going on down there. And it's probably, you know, demonstrations and protests against police terrorism that's occurring that we just don't simply know about because they're not getting that media attention. So if you have any thoughts today, please feel free to share them. We have several ways you can get in on this live broadcast, and you can call us at the conference line, which is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound, and then hit star 6 and 1. That'll signal me that you would like to speak. The studio line is 704-951-5030. Again, the studio line, 704-951-5030. You can also use the web-based flash phone to place a free call from anywhere in the world as long as you have a pair of headsets. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right to it. First, let me state this. These people who are being pointed at and named in the media as the shooters, it is important that we acknowledge that these are allegations. There has been no trial. There has been no presentation of evidence. All we are hearing is stuff what the police say one of the shooters said, a man by the name of Micah Xavier Johnson, a Army veteran as well who served in Afghanistan. He is alleged to be one of the shooters, said that they killed him with a robotic arm with a bomb attached, and they blew him up. And I was like, wow, man, really? You had him cornered and you couldn't wait him out, so you just blew him up. You just blew him up. I didn't see that happen to the Batman shooter. They didn't try to blow him up. I just haven't seen that happen to many of these other people who are non-black that engage in violent acts. I don't see that kind of thing happening to them. Most often, more times than not, they get taken alive. And I'm talking about mass shooters. They get taken alive for whatever reason. So anyway, we want to look at what's being put out there as five facts, quote unquote, about the alleged shooter. Again, his name is Micah Xavier Johnson. They do have three other people in custody, but they are not releasing any information whatsoever about the three. No names, no photographs, nothing like that. But they are being interrogated by police officers, according to news reports. Another story we'll take a look at, Alex Jones, of InfoWars, also of Prison Planet. He's been a person who I have used as a news source since about 1999. I've been following the publishings of Prison Planet as well as InfoWars. But I learned over the years, I made observations over the years that Alex Jones is a racist. He's a racist, and I already had issues with him because he worships people like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, the quote-unquote so-called founding fathers who were racist, rapists, enslavers, land thieves. And so, you know, I already had issues. I don't get down with anybody like that. And I've talked about it in the past because well-known black people would be on his program and whatnot. And the man is a racist. And we have further evidence of his racist propaganda operation, which has gotten worse. It's like he's not even trying to be codified anymore. They're just blatantly being racist. They are pushing a false headline linking the Dallas snipers to Black Lives Matter. And they're also saying that Black Lives Matter activists were celebrating the killing of these slave catchers and whatnot. Now, whether or not anybody was celebrating, I cannot say. I don't know if they had any evidence. All I saw was the headline. I didn't even want to read it. All right. And so, but I did read the article pushing the false headline talking about this was a Black Lives Matter attack. They were criticizing Jesse Jackson for some comments that he made, and I don't pay a whole lot of attention to to people like what Jesse Jackson say, but he said what he said, but nowhere, and they linked to a Daily Mail article, and nowhere in that article is anyone, is Jesse or none of the cops, not even the Dallas police officers, are trying to link this to BLM, to Black Lives Matter. Which, while they do, there is an organization named Black Lives Matter, they do not run the movement. Okay, again, this just started off as a hashtag coming out of Ferguson, and people took a hold of that slogan, and they're just saying that they march under that banner, Black Lives Matter. Doesn't mean that they are members of an actual organization by that name. They're just saying philosophically that Black Lives Matter, because we know realistically Black Lives don't matter unless you own a prison plantation and you making the money, you know. So want to definitely take a look at that. I think that's very important, that we identify, you know, this sort of propaganda, because it's meant to do is cause people who don't have the right information to possibly attack people who associate with the protests and whatnot. So, you know, just egregious race baiting and what have you going on at Alex Jones's InfoWars, as well as Prison Planet. I came across a video last night. Well, not last night, this morning. You had this young black male, I don't know his name, but he made a very compelling case about how this country tolerates the killing of Americans. And I know, even though he didn't say, we know he was talking about black people, but they don't tolerate Americans being killed in other countries, and how they will bomb other countries in the name of national security. So as just think about this, as we're going to hear people, some of the people who were there, people associated with the protests and demonstrations against police terrorism and slave catching in this country, they're going to be asked, and indeed, you know, some of the family members of two of the victims, the man in Minnesota, his mother was being interviewed by this dude on CNN, and he asking her about Dallas. And like she told him, I don't know nothing about Dallas. I wasn't in Dallas. I haven't been watching TV. I haven't even slept in 48 hours. My son just died the other day. So they always want to shove a microphone in a black person's face to get them to condemn acts of violence against police officers, or to forgive acts of violence by terrorists like Dylann Roof. Everybody want to look to us like we don't have feelings, like we ain't human beings, like we don't get frustrated, like we don't get angry. But, you know, I didn't hear none of these people condemning acts of violence and stuff when the towers came down in New York City. I didn't hear anybody saying, you know, we have to be calm, we have to be thoughtful, violence is never the answer, and all of that. And the citizens too. You know, as Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton talk about bombing ISIS as a response to what Omar Mateen did in Orlando, nobody's saying, hey, that was just one dude. That was one man. He ain't never been over there. He, you know, anybody can pledge allegiance to ISIS. You know, it's just a name, without even talking to anybody in this, what I feel like it's a CIA op anyway. So this one person do this one thing, and what is their response? Oh, let's go over there and drop more bombs. So I do not celebrate any kind of loss of life. I just don't. It's just not in me. I think that's kind of morbid and what have you. And let me go ahead and take this call. I think that is morbid to celebrate something like that, but at the same time, don't look to me to condemn what happened in Dallas or any other instances where police get killed. Don't ask me, you know, to condemn anything like that, because I don't see any of these people, when these two black men came out and got killed in these last couple of days, and we can go back years, I don't hear any politicians coming out condemning these acts of violence. No, they'd be like, we don't have all the information, we need to wait, and blah, 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 blah. There's no condemning of police violence against the police whatsoever. So, you know, I'm not going to condemn anything. You know, I'm not celebrating it, but I'm not going to condemn it. Such are acts of war. There are casualties in war. So that's how I feel about it. Caller, hold on. I'm going to come to you. Let me just wrap up the introduction. Along that same vein, I do want to talk about John Lewis, Representative John Lewis, once again showing a lack of self-respect whatsoever by saying he used to thank cops for their service after they kicked his ass for being black. I mean, come on, man. Will this guy please retire? Will he please retire and go fishing or play some golf or whatever it is he likes to do in his free time? Because he is useless. He's useless to black people. He just simply is, and that's just totally inappropriate. Oh, I was beaten bloody by police officers, but I never hated them. I said, thank you for your service. I call BS. That man is lying. He ain't thanked them cops for busting him upside the head back in the day. So, yeah, that was kind of crazy. The State Department, the last story we'll talk about, the State Department reopens its probe into Hillary Clinton and her mishandling of classified information after Representative Trey Gowdy exposed FBI Director James Comey as a fraud. So I got that audio. Definitely you'll take a listen to that. So without further delay, let me go to our caller. Thank you for calling in to share your thoughts. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to let the families know that my heart goes out to them. We keep seeing our sons gunned down in the street, and it's just publicized like it's an everyday thing we should just go along with, you know. And at some point, it has to stop. At some point, it's got to stop. We're going to have to do things differently. Number one, we've got to exercise our right to self-determination. We are the majority population in so many states and so many cities, and we should be governing ourselves, just like what happened in Ferguson. We were right at 70% of the population. Excuse me, we should be setting policy on how we handle our people, how we are policed in our communities, and this point blank. We have to understand that soft war is being committed against us, always have been. I don't look at this as a police brutality case. It's not police brutality. This is state-sponsored terrorism.
I agree.
And the response has to be on an international front. Political pressure is going to have to be placed on the United States government. That means wherever they have interest, those interests should be at stake. Specifically in Africa and anywhere that we're the majority population on the planet, you should not be able to kill a melanin-dominated person and get away with it. This is going to be a global fight. It needs to be a domestic one as well. But we're going to have to call in some help on this one. We're being warred upon. We're going to have to frame our plight in a different manner. When police blatantly assassinate a man in front of his fiance
and child,
point blank, point blank, feet on his arms, legs, he was already down, he was already subdued. What else could he do? There was two of them, okay? Police are walking arsenals, and specifically these police that came back from Iraq and Afghanistan. Those people are the ones who are policing in our communities, and when they see a person of color, they see a combatant. I have seen documentation where we are considered as a belligerent group. So they handle us the same way that they will handle the so-called terrorists in Afghanistan, so-called terrorists in Iraq, so-called terrorists anywhere they go and exploit.
Here,
so we're gonna have to start reframing. This is not police isolated individual decisions that police make.
Mm-hmm.
This is policy. This is practice. This is institutionalized and this state-sponsored terrorism. And we are in the stages of genocide. We better get a grip.
I have a couple of questions for you. Please hang on for a second. You said so much there that we could delve into, but one of the first things I want to talk about is your accurate assessment that we are being warred upon and these aren't isolated incidents. And I was kind of surprised that Barack Obama said the same thing. These are not isolated incidents. Well, Captain Obvious, you've had 7.5 years to do something substantive, and of course he can't do it by himself, but I have seen no effort by anyone in his administration, anyone in Congress, to what's the word I'm looking for, sincerely address these issues. All we get is these commissions that make recommendations that don't have to be followed. Okay. And so I agree with you. These are not isolated incidents. Yesterday, my mom said something that I thought was right on point. She said that, you know, she was watching the news. She was saying that these people keep talking about lack of training of these police officers. They don't have proper training. And she said, that's a doggone lie. They've been trained all their lives to be racist.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the
mm-hmm.
outcome of what mm-hmm. they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I posted a screen grab from Facebook of an old article out of North Miami where that police department were using the mugshots of black men for target practice.
Exactly. And if I may respond to something else, we have to understand our position here in the United States. We are a subdued nation within the United States. So the way that they treat us, they're not treating you like the common criminal. They're treating you as a combatant, okay? If you notice how they occupy our communities and our neighborhoods, do you not notice how they the harsh treatment, the distinction in the laws, how we're treated. Now, why are we, this is my question, why are we continuing to go to the same people
mm-hmm.
who make a personal choice to murder us at large when they get ready and ask them for remedy? Would you go to your rapist
insane.
For counseling?
Yeah, that's kind of insane. Like, you know, I was reading today the Department of Justice is going to investigate the Baton Rouge, Alton Sterling
good luck.
Killing. But if that article is correct, I read this morning, they have declined to investigate the case in Minnesota with the brother Castile. I forget his first name, but they declined to investigate that. But their own statistical data says 95% of the time, 95 times out of 100, they do not find that these cops did anything wrong. So, again, what's the point of keep going to people? And then let's just look at how the Department of Justice just showed us that there are two sets of rules, two sets of standards, two sets of laws, apparently, when they just told us that Hillary Clinton committed these serious violations of law, but we can't prove intent and we're not going to prosecute her. You know, so that just shows us right then and there. They're throwing all these people into prison and jail behind nonviolent so-called drug crimes and stuff.
Exactly.
But you have high crimes and misdemeanors being committed by politicians, and
mm-hmm.
They do not suffer any kind of accountability.
And this is my position. We're going to have to find it within ourselves to do something different. And when I say do something different, I'm not saying resort to violence. I'm not stating that. But I'm saying we're going to have to do something different. We're going to have to look within the African-American population and say, you know, this integrationalist or assimilationist policy that we've been running on and doctrine we've been operating on since 1955, it's not working. We need to separate. We need our own government. We need our own control of our own institutions. We need our own. We can no longer continue to think that we are part of the United States or the American way. We're not. And if you look at the history, you look at the Constitution, it did not. It did not. It was not referencing us.
No, it was not.
I'm not an inhabitant. I'm a human being. So you have some Negroes that say, oh, they're talking, they spoke of us in this Constitution or that state Constitution. They refer to you as an inhabitant. That means it could be a cockroach.
Right.
So we have to go through the steps to establish a nation within the United States. So we'll have apparatus to protect our people, to protect our communities. We're naked. We don't have anything. We're not operable, we're not functional, and we just keep chasing this social illusion that these white people are going to treat us right someday.
You know,
I'm sorry, they're not going to do it.
You know, when you said something about we're going to have to do something different than what we have been doing, but I would point that I do think the Black Panther Party back in the 60s was doing what we need to be doing. And the FBI, the government, people, if you don't know about COINTELPRO, look it up. It was to prevent a black messiah that could unite black people and help them, you know, overcome this racist system. And that's why Malcolm's dead. That's why Martin's dead. That's why Fred Hampton's dead. That's why a lot of Black Panthers are in prison right now.
Well, Scotty, if I may. There's 50 million of us here in the United States. What our elders and ancestors did in those days, from Marcus Garvey down to the Republic of New Africa and other, and Nation of Islam and other organizations, they did what they had to do for that time. We are in 2016. We know they targeted our one person. We know that they targeted Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and so many others. So what we have to do is work in teams. This person works on it. This group works on the economics. This group works on the civil engineering. This group works on education. We're going to have to work as a team towards the same objective.
You're talking about things being set up just like in the military. If an officer gets killed, there's someone to step in and take his place in that same field, so that, you know, we shouldn't be relying on or looking for just one individual to be a messiah to come save us, because it's not going to happen. We're going to have to save ourselves. But what I'm talking about, though, is just on the terms of police terrorism, the Black Panther Party, and they were even preceded by the Deacons for Defense. And we need to get back to self-defense. Just because they destroyed those movements or those organizations aren't around, they were on the right path in terms of providing protection for our community. And I can't leave out North Carolinian Robert F. Williams, the first chairman of the Republic of New Africa, and how they were able to protect their community here in North Carolina, not only from the Klan, but from the racist police as well. We need to get back on providing our own security, because how crazy is it, like you said earlier, looking to this government to fix a problem that they are responsible for creating in the first place? So how are we looking to police to secure our communities when we keep seeing all they doing is slave catching and extrajudicial killings? It don't make sense. We can police our own community.
Exactly. And we've got to learn how to utilize that international and human rights framework.
And I agree.
I say it for this reason right here. We're not doing it for the laws. We're doing it for the political pressure. That's how other minority groups, other excluded groups, that's what they do. They use it as a tool to galvanize melanin-dominated people, people of color who've been exploited by imperialism. We've got to be clear. What's going on over here in the United States, it is nothing compared to what goes on in other countries with melanin-dominated
Tell
people.
Me about it. Tell me about it.
Look at West Papua New Guinea.
Right.
Look at how they're being exterminated en masse, and we can't even get
by a U.S. ally. Make sure you point that out. With U.S. weapons, because they are a U.S.
Exactly.
trade partner.
Exactly. We should be anything Indonesian, we should be boycotting. Hair, nails, anything that they have over here of consequence that's in our communities, they shouldn't be able to sell our water to cry with. Okay? So this thing is bigger than just us over here in the United States. We haven't cornered the market on state-sponsored terrorism.
No.
We just got to put it in this proper context, and then we'll be able to address it. Now, we already know that the Department of Justice is not our friend. The Supreme Court is not our friend. So what are we going to do? We have an inter-American court system. We have an African court system. We can take them all around the world. One is in Melanie, and I think it's Malaysia. So there's a lot of things that we can do. We can get very savvy.
Yeah, that's what Malcolm was working on.
Right.
That's isn't it what Malcolm was working on when they killed him?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm with you. You've been on point with everything you said. Nothing that I disagree with. And I thank you for chiming in. Did you have any final comments as we move on with the rest of the program?
Well, I'm just hoping everyone stays calm. One thing I want to bring attention to is the incident that happened in Texas. We're going to have to be careful. We haven't seen, these murders are going to continue. In Atlanta, there was a body found. A guy was hanging from a tree. Are you aware of that in Piedmont?
Yes, I heard about it today.
And the day before, the Ku Klux Klan was there, but yet the report saying that he committed suicide.
Right.
Black man, tree, park, Klan. Excuse me. Hello. Don't sound like a suicide mission to me. Sounds like somebody did something to him and hung him there. Okay. So we've got to be careful, be very careful, and we're going to have to find ways of coming together as a team. In every city, and security should be a priority.
Yes,
it is
ma'am.
A priority. And not just, with different groups, different families, different friends and families. We need to know where each other is when we're going out of town. We need to have phones handy. We need to be ready to record things. We've got to be on point now because it's not over at all. This is just getting started.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in and sharing those very poignant views with us.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's go ahead and take a station identification break before I go to the next caller. I see you in the queue. Again, we're pretty much in free flow open forum today, but the main topic obviously is the killing of the senseless killing of black people. It continues. This is, like she said, state-sponsored terrorism. It's slave catching. All right, all those people, look, if it wasn't for cops, we wouldn't have the world's largest prison plantation on the planet. All right, so we want to open up the phone lines for anybody who wants to share whatever's on your mind. Just try to stay codified as best you can. But I understand that this these two recent killings have really had tremendous impact on people. It's like the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, my daughter yesterday, she just reacted so differently than she's acted before, just wanting to do something and not knowing what to do and what have you. So we do want to open up the phone lines for discussion if you so desire to share your comments. You can give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. The studio line, that's 704-951-5030. That's our Skype studio line, 704-951-5030. Let me go ahead and we'll take this station identification break and we'll be back on the other side.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay. Give up on my way. Oh, yeah.
Talk Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. Before we move to the caller, let me just remind you that the Black Media crowdfunding campaign is ongoing. You can find out more information by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Look at the dark menu. It's about the third tab. It says crowdfunding Black Media. You can also go to the website for our nonprofit, where you can also find out about the services that we offer people at very affordable prices to help them with their media needs. That's blacktalkmediaproject.org, but you'll also find a tab there for crowdfunding Black Media, because they are not going to fund any kind of independent Black media where we can have open dialogue and discussions without fear of losing sponsors or losing advertisers and stuff like that, because our work is by far supported by our donors, people who make contributions to our nonprofit here in North Carolina, and as well as those who utilize the services, the media services that we offer through the Black Talk Media Project. This way, we are able to truly have an independent Black media platform. The stats for the radio station went out yesterday. If you are a donor, okay, and you did not get the stats for the radio station for the month of June yesterday, please send me an email so that I can make sure that you actually did make a donation, and then I can add your get a good email address from you and add you to our mailing list. The social media report will go out this evening, so you know, we do provide statistical data on all of our social media operations to let you know how many people we are reaching, and last month we actually had an increase of about a million people through social media that we were able to reach. So that tells me we had a couple of posts, or you know, maybe more than a couple, go viral or something, for us to have over a million people to have seen stuff that was posted on our Facebook page on called Black Talk Radio Network. All right, so that'll be going out this evening. Again, if you have donated and you did not get the statistical reports yesterday, please send me an email to admin@blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's admin@blacktalkradionetwork.com, and we'll make sure we'll get you added to the mailing list. All right, let me go to the phone lines. I believe 414 was the first one to call in. 414, please go ahead with your question or comment.
I'm here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, greetings, Scotty. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to add something that I observed this morning watching the activity around the officers that were murdered.
Yes, sir.
I read a book by John Patash. I think you had him on the program before.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Okay. He wrote a book called The FBI War on Two Popular Black Leaders. And in that book, he specifically spoke about members of the CIA and or FBI that when they performed executions, they would stand over the body and fire three or four more rounds into the body to make sure that they had a kill.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning, it was a witness that had witnessed the officers being murdered and had said specifically that, you know, it's saying very orchestrated, and that he's seen the gunman stand over the police officer and fire two to three more rounds into him. And that's all I wanted to add.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. I'm assuming by your question that maybe you came across some information or some people who are suggesting that this may have been some sort of COINTELPRO type act, you know, where you have people in government or working for the government who commit these acts so that the government can then come in and say, hey, you know, this happened, now we got to do this, that, and the other, whether they talking about martial law or anything like that. Am I on the right track?
Definitely that. And it just take me back to what Nellie Fuller said, that, you know, watch the business and get work off for senators. You know, and like I was just telling a friend of mine, noticed that she was emotionally spent off of the murder that happened to black males over the last couple of days. And this time around, my emotional attachment wasn't there.
Say that again, because your phone's kind of breaking up.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you? Okay. I didn't really respond to terrorism. Type of behavior from the opposition that we're facing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do notice that it does seem like this is the straw that broke the camel's back. The emotional burden seems just a little bit too heavy for everybody to carry this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's all I have. So.
All right, thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let me go ahead and clear the callers. We had another person.
Q&A queue is clear.
Who was in queue? If you want to chime in, please hit *6 and 1. If you have a question or comment. Let me tackle a couple of things there. One of the alleged shooters is said to have had military training. Now, he didn't have any kind of specialized, like special forces training or anything like that. He was actually working in an engineering battalion in the military. But I would not necessarily say that, you know, because of the manner of which a cop was killed, that is possibly, you know, an inside job or something like that. Because I've seen that in the movies, you know, they talk about, you know, you want to give the double tap and stuff like that. So, you know, they could have seen that anywhere. Who knows where they got their training from, or if they even had any kind of training or anything like that. So, while I'm not dismissing anything, I'm just kind of skeptical about it being portrayed as a some kind of inside job or anything like that. But here is something else. You mentioned Nellie Fuller, because I was thinking about Mr. Fuller yesterday. All right, and I was just debating in my mind whether or not I agreed with him when he says that a black person who what do they call it, maximum what is the term that he uses, maximum something, I can't think of it right now, but what he's talking about is when a black person kills somebody like Christopher Dorner. Y'all remember Christopher Dorner, the black dude in California, also military veteran and what have you, and he got tired of the police terrorism and he killed a couple of cops and what have you. But you know, there was this thing where in the counter racist circles they were saying that if you do something like that, you should go, well, Mr. Fuller said it, you should go ahead and just kill yourself, because then, you know, if you don't and you try to get away, that they just going to, you know, more black people are going to suffer as they try to hunt for you and whatnot. So I was thinking about that, you know, last night that came to my mind as I was, you know, learning about some of the alleged individuals and this one guy in particular. And I was just thinking to myself, I was like, no, I don't agree with that. And the reason I don't agree with that is because they gonna kill us no matter what any of us do. This is 24/7 nonstop slave catching and terrorism. So regardless of what a black person does, in an act of revenge or act of retribution. Some might say an act of justice. Now, you know, I don't agree with that, because they killing us all day anyway. So I don't suspect that any more killings will happen today or tomorrow, because of what happened in Dallas. It was going to happen anyway. What I say is going to happen anyway is these killings. We can predict every 24 hours that a black person is going to be killed by a cop or a prison guard or a security guard or something, or white terrorist vigilante. So regardless of how black people respond with counter violence or anything of that sort, they still gonna kill us anyway. We can't bring upon any more suffering than we're already suffering. So I just respectfully disagree. I did consider that. I weighed it in my own mind, because I'll tell you what, just allowing us, we see nothing has worked in terms of, you know, our responses. No matter what response we give, we still get killed. We can be on our knees begging and pleading. We could be marching and praying and singing songs and just trying to be overly nice to people. Don't none of that matter, man. None of that matters in terms of what we do, in terms of what they do. I'm talking about the racists and the race soldiers, as is known in counter-racist circles. That's their job. Their job is to terrorize us. Their job is to put us into modern-day slavery and whatnot. So that's my thought. And I also thought about another counter-racist term that Mr. Fuller says, and you know, they apply it to a black person's word, saying VGQ, meaning you have a guaranteed victim qualification to say whatever you want to say, feel however you want to feel. Well, I want to apply that to actions as well. If this guy did it, VGQ. That's what I say. Let's go to the call. Go to another caller, area code 678. You're on Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question and comment.
Peace, Billy Scotty. I just having remembered, or looking to remember the term that you were looking for, I just double-checked in Neely Fuller Jr.'s work, and that term's maximum emergency compensatory justice.
Right, thank you. Maximum emergency compensatory justice is the term that I was thinking about. Thank you, because I couldn't remember it, but I did remember the concept that he put forth, and I just respectfully, you know, disagree with that.
No problem. Also, you know, just in hearing about the responses to these recent murders, I wanted to know your thoughts on why it is that these particular murders by slave catchers, which, as we know, are occurring constantly out here, have caused this kind of response, has elicited this kind of overwhelming response. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Let me restate the question back to you to make sure I understand what you're saying. You're asking me, why do I think that people seem to be more impacted by these recent killings than the killings before that?
Yeah, essentially, you know, I've been looking into these kinds of killings, you know, as best I can for a while, and, you know, not really having online access for a little bit, I didn't hear about these most recent killings in Louisiana and Minnesota until kind of late, much later than usual. Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, a little bit surprising to me to see the kinds of responses, especially with respect to, you know, mainstream corporate news media and infotainment and whatnot, whereas individuals like Greg Gunn, you know, and many others who have recently been killed, whether unarmed or armed,
right,
by these slave catching police, you know, haven't garnered that kind of attention.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, let me answer best I can. Usually, you see a bigger response on a mass level when it's recorded on video. And that was a pretty dramatic, the man, the black man that was killed in Minnesota with his fiance in the car and a child in the back seat. That was pretty dramatic, man, as we watched him take his last breath. And I was like amazed that she was able to remain so calm for the little bit of time that she did. You know, she kind of stayed codified, even though they had just murdered her fiance and whatnot. But I think, you know, seeing that particular video, man, was pretty distressing, you know, to people. And then because, you know, he also had a license to carry a firearm and was doing everything by the book like he was supposed to do by the book, and he still ended up dead. And so I think, you know, I have noticed something in the air, something different. You know, a different type of energy, as somebody else, you know, described to me with these killings than before. You know, I described it earlier as the straw that broke the camel's back. And I just feel like, you know, that more people are realizing that, like Richard Pryor said, ain't no justice, just us. After they seen the how they just gave Hillary Clinton a free pass for the crimes that she did, you know, involving national security. And so, you know, people just are coming to some people, I should say, not all people, but some people, man, they just come, they tired. They tired, and they tired of talking, and they tired of marching, and they tired of signing petitions. And so, you know, this is the result of when people are tired and they feel like they've exhausted all options. Does that make any sense?
Definitely it does. I fully agree. But as you were describing one of these killings, I was reminded, and I can't place his name right now, but this brother who was murdered by a police officer. It was caught on video. This was in New Jersey. I can't remember exactly where in New Jersey. But as he was, he seemed to be taking his hands off of the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
He was being like given confusing directions or orders by the slave catcher, and was shot and killed. I remember
that case. I think it was a Hispanic guy, and he might have also been a veteran or in the National Guard or something. Wasn't he killed on the freeway, or they chased him off the freeway and killed him?
I recall that one as well. This one,
this a different
I recall
one?
It was during the evening, because it was a very dark footage, but the vehicle was stationary.
Okay.
He had parked. I think there was someone in the passenger seat, and this was several months ago, so the details are not completely clear, but I'll look it up once I get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But I just recall, you know, that also being, you know, particularly heinous as far as the visuals were concerned.
Okay.
Clearly, this man had no means of, you know, defending against just being shot to death. This brother in Michigan who was shot by the kind of circling, almost firing squad type.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, slave catchers. You know, I just we have just countless examples like these, and it's in no way to diminish, you know, the horrific nature of these examples. My question would just be, given that we know about the way that these media products are controlled, and the way that visuals are kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know, divvied out to the community very selectively. In your view, should we be cautious and perhaps to some degree suspicious about the way in which these two cases are being presented to us?
Always, always be suspicious of corporate media. Always. That's number one. That should be automatic. Always. They are sources of information that, you know, there's no denying that. You can gather a lot of intelligence from them. They will share some facts with you, but always be suspicious that there is an ulterior motive, you know. For example, you know, when the mother of the young man killed in Minnesota was being interviewed by this guy, Chris Cuomo, or whatever his name is, last night, he won't ask her questions about Dallas. That what Dallas got to do with her son being murdered in Minnesota? Ain't got nothing to do with it. Like, she got some knowledge of that, you know. And I just saw it as a deliberate effort again to get black people to condemn these killings of slave catchers, when, you know, the slave catchers killed on nobody, you know, in media or politicians. They don't offer no condemnation of these slave catchers. So, you know, I can't say what's different other than, you know, some people just fed up, man. Some people are just fed up, and, you know, it's just hard to say what particular thing can set people off and what have you. But, you know, this wouldn't even been on the media. I'm talking about the killing of the, both of these killings. Again, the media is reacting to video that was published by witnesses to these crimes and whatnot. And so we do have to be careful and pay attention to how they try to put these videos in a different context and confuse people and things of that nature. But going back to what the other caller said, though, man, we definitely, you know, I heard some people say, let's not share these videos so much because it causes trauma and what have you. Well, you know, I understand that point of view, but at the same time, though, if we don't share these videos, man, a lot of people are just going to stay apathetic and be complacent, and they're not going to believe, you know, these things are really happening, and we're exaggerating. But when you have video, you know, well, the video is the video. Did you have anything else?
That was about it. Appreciate the time, Brother Scotty. I would also just mention, and I'm going to try and post it as well, but there, for those that are in the New York area especially, there is an event coming up on the 15th with respect to Palestinian solidarity that's going to be at the Shabbat Center that some groups are putting together, Existence is Resistance, as well as the campaign to bring Mumia home, among others. So definitely looks to be a worthwhile event if anyone's, you know, in that area at that time.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that information.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Peace. All right. We have another caller, area code 561. Let me go to you before we go to break. I'll just go to break late because I think you called in before and you didn't get to speak. So 561, you are on air. Please go ahead with your question or comment. Area code 561. The last four.
Scotty, yeah. It's me, Scotty. I'm right now, Scotty. I'm sorry for interrupting the show. I was calling in, but right now, a guy just got pulled over. I'm trying to record it on my other phone. It's I can't believe it.
All right.
Military is out here.
Give us a call back,
Scotty. Give us a call. I'm going to give you a call back.
And you be careful. All right. So, that was Brother Sin from down there in the Florida area. You be careful, brother. You be careful. Do what you got to do, but you be careful. Be careful. All right. Again, let me pull up this article. From heavy.com, five so-called facts that we know about or are being put out about Micah. That's my oldest grandson's name, Micah Xavier Johnson. Five fast facts you need to know. He was an Army veteran, upset about Black Lives Matter. I think they misquoted him. And number one, I take what the cops said. He said that's hearsay. It ain't admissible in court, so I ain't going to I'm not even going to believe it, like, oh, this is a fact or something like that, you know. If I don't see it, no recording, and it's not recorded and whatnot, I don't trust anything that they have to say. But anyway, they claim that he was an Army, well, he is an Army veteran, and he was upset about recent police shootings who opened fire Thursday night in Dallas in an attack on police officers, has been identified as Micah Xavier Johnson, the Los Angeles Times and CBS News reported. Blah, 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 blah. It's not clear if there were any other gunmen or whether the people taken into custody by police were involved in the shooting. So, fact number one, the former soldier told police he was not affiliated with any groups and he did this alone. Now, see, when he said that, that's when I started thinking about what Mr. Fuller, you know, said about, I didn't forgot it again, tag, I forgot, but emergency maximum compensatory action, MECA, that's how I remember it, maximum emergency compensatory action, MECA, MECA. Is how I can remember that. All right. So this is what got me thinking about it last night. I was saying, well, damn, at least he told them that he ain't connected to nobody else, because you know they automatically going to try to connect it to Black Lives Matter, although that is really just a movement and not really an organization. You know, I mean, it is an organization, but all of these people that have been out in the streets and all these different places are not necessarily a part of that organization. They are just people who tired of police terrorism and whatnot, and they're, you know, joining with other people with a unified voice to express their disapproval of all this killing. So that's what made me think of it, because they said that he said that he was not affiliated with anyone else and he did this alone, so that nobody else suffers for his action. But like I said earlier, that's good he said that. That showed that he cared about other people being held accountable for something he did. All right. But whether he did this or if he didn't do it, if it never happened, people still gonna get killed every 28 hours, if not more. That's just a black person. But really, when I did the research last year, it broke down to about 3.2 people a day being killed by cops in the USA, USA Inc. That includes people of all demographics, all whatever you want to call them. That's a lot. That's a lot of people. So regardless of any action that we take as individuals or part of a small group, they gonna keep practicing slavery, and they gonna keep practicing racism, and they gonna keep killing. That's just how I feel about it. I think that's what the evidence shows. He was also, and this isn't coming from this particular article, but I read elsewhere, he had gotten, he was a decorated soldier, got a couple of medals while he was serving in Afghanistan. Again, his main job was as a carpenter, and they mentioned something else, but he was connected to engineering battalion and whatnot. So we got a decorated soldier, you know, here who did what he did. He said he did it allegedly because he, you know, was upset about these recent videos and killings of black people. All right. So again, I say to you, VGQ, victim guaranteed qualification is how I would describe that. Let me see if there's anything else. He had connections to quote unquote black separatists hate groups on Facebook. So they're talking about black nationalists. We had the first caller talking about black nationalism. I did a program last week on black nationalism and the fathers of black nationalism, which I feel like are the Haitians, the two men, Dessalines and the Overture. That those two men are the fathers of black nationalism on this on in this hemisphere and what have you, but the father of black nationalism was Martin Delaney Robeson here in the United States, a former soldier himself. He was the first commissioned officer, black officer, in the United States military ever. And after the war, he just said that, "I don't think these white folks ever gonna stop practicing racism, so we need to get the hell away from them." Now, how is that based on hate? That's not based on hate when people want to separate from people who are doing them harm. That's not based on hate. That's, yeah, it's based on your hate. It's based on hate that's being directed at them. Okay? So let's not get it twisted. This is something the media often does in trying to label black nationalist groups, any kind of person who acknowledges any kind of affinity for black culture, black power, or anything like that. Oh, we're, you know, they're hate groups and they're just haters and they're terrorists and all this and that. When really what is going on is a reaction to over 400 years of terrorism. So, but again, I'm not a black nationalist. I think I made that clear the other day. I don't concede anything to these people. I don't concede not one inch of the battlefield to these people. I'm not leaving the current ground that I'm standing on. I'm not leaving. This is our land. This ain't they land. All right, this is ours. We have bled for it. We have fought and died for it. And just because we being mistreated does not mean that I'm going to leave. Those people that want to do that, I totally understand that. That's VGQ again. Do what you feel you have to do. And know that I support whatever decision it is you make. I support black nationalists. Just because I'm not one doesn't mean that I can't support them or find allies among them. Well, I'm a pan-Africanist, meaning that I believe in black people no matter where they are in the world. We need to unite. We need to establish trade with each other, economic trade with each other. We need to unify on a global level, like the caller was talking about, the first caller was talking about, what Malcolm X was working on with the Organization for African American Unity, which had its 52nd anniversary, what, last week, the week before, did a program on that too. And taking these people to the world courts and what have you. But number one, I do believe we need to set up mutual self-defense. So, you know, to say that these people are hate groups and stuff like that, how the hell you going to be a hate group when you reacting to the hate that has been directed towards you? So, anyway, looks like they trying to pin it on some other organizations. Let me see what else they got on here. The chief says, if anyone else was involved in the shootings, we will find you and we will bring you to justice. Okay, chief said what he said. Let me see. Johnson was in the Army Reserves and served in Afghanistan. A Department of Defense official told the Daily Beast that Micah Johnson was a private first class in the Army Reserves. He was part of the 284th Engineering Company, which is based in Santa Fe, New Mexico. The official said Johnson served in Afghanistan. He was a carpenter and masonry specialist. CNN reports it is not known if he had advanced firearms training, Department of Defense officials told CNN. Look, you don't have to have specialized training, all right, to be a sniper. All a sniper is a person who is in a hidden position with a rifle shooting people. That's all a sniper. It don't take a whole bunch of specialized training. All it takes is a good shot. A good marksman could easily do what was done. So I don't know why people want to say that, you know, oh, he don't have specialized training and all this and that. It don't matter. It really don't matter. But this is what I want to point out, though. See, this is the dilemma. this is the thing that black soldiers, the questions we have to ask ourselves. This is the question I asked myself when I was in the Gulf War, stationed over there just outside of Riyadh, the capital city in Saudi Arabia, all right? And I was reading Malcolm X's biography for the very first time, and I think I might have been 22 or 23 years old. And I read that biography and whatnot, and I was going doing a lot of soul searching and meditation and whatnot. And then I was like, you know, I'm over here. I ain't got really ain't got no business over here other than I signed my name on the contract and gave and you know, swore oath to follow orders and things of that nature. All right. So, but I was thinking, really, I ain't got no business over here. This is not being done for my benefit or my people benefit or the American people's benefit. This has to do with stealing resources. And why should I hate or want to kill an Iraqi soldier who out there just following orders, probably just like me, you know, but their homeland was being attacked. So, you know, they would have reason to want to kill me wearing the enemy's uniform and what have you. But I just really started doing soul searching about black people's role in the white supremacist military, we might well just say the United States Army, U.S. military, period, exists to spread racism and white supremacy all over the planet. Not democracy, racism and white supremacy. To spread slavery, to spread misery, to spread chaos. And so I'm like, you know, I remember when they had the uprising in L.A. I was in the military at the time also. I was stationed in Hawaii at the time. We watching it on TV and whatnot. And then, you know, we started talking about it. What if they called us out? Even though that's highly unlikely, we regular Army, they would call out the reserves or the National Guard for that. But if they did give us an order and we was out there on them streets and our captain or staff sergeant or sergeant first class said, gave us live rounds and told us to fire on these black people out here, I asked my brothers, would y'all do it? And of course each and every one of them said they would not do it. But who you could say what you won't do until you actually put in that position. So that's the difficult, you know, when you in the United States military, if you actually believe that you're out here, you're in the military, you're going off to these foreign lands so that we can protect liberty and freedom back here at home, but then you seeing on the news almost every week some black man, woman, or child being gunned down by these slave catchers, that's gonna make you feel, I mean, how that make you feel? How that make you feel? It make you feel a certain kind of way. You so willing to go off overseas to go kill some non-white people based on some lies, but then they murdering your cousins, your fathers, your uncles and stuff right here, or putting them into slavery. So that's another interesting aspect of this case, if indeed Mr. Johnson is the one who committed this attack on these police officers. But I notice nobody's you know, saying thank him for his service and what have you. But the next thing I want to bring up though is Alex Jones, because this article also touches upon Alex Jones pushing false headlines linking the Dallas snipers to Black Lives Matter and saying other BLM activists were celebrating the killing of slave catchers. These are the inflammatory headlines that Alex Jones websites are putting out, and they do it all the time. And for the life of me, I don't see how any black person is associating with this man and in some kind of media partnership with him. That's just crazy. You don't know who this man is, obviously. And the type of things that he has advocated for over the years, or his role in racism, white supremacy, putting out all this propaganda. Now, they actually put those headlines out there, but the police in Dallas actually said that, let me see if I can find it in this particular article, but the police said officers, okay, here we go. Dallas Police Chief David Brown said he and others in the police department participated in the planning of the rally. So they helped the demonstrators plan this. One of the things that was tweeted out, something people should understand nationally, BLM and Dallas Police Department have respect for each other. Dallas Police Department was protecting marchers. Snipers did this. Officers were posing for pictures with marchers, and the mood was peaceful and light, officials said. Goes on to show more pictures like that. Police have released no evidence that the planners of the protests were involved in the shooting. All right. So, where is Alex Jones and his little minions over there at InfoWars and Prison Planet getting their information from that this was a BLM attack on these officers? They not getting it from anywhere. They making it up. So what should that tell you about them? What should that tell you about Alex Jones, the man who worships racist, pedophile, enslavers? Should tell you that he ain't no ally. Now, I've been watching them since 1999, when I first bought my first desktop computer, cost $1,200 at the time to have one built. Man, computers are cheap today. But back in 1999, I first came across his site, Prison Planet. And he did open up my eyes to a lot of things in terms of white supremacy on a global scale, and in how these governments, you know, engage in the Hegelian dialect. That is, they do a heinous act, blame it on somebody, and then they come in like they got the solution. So I have learned a lot from him over the years and from his websites, and he's still, you know, that website is still a source of intelligence for me. But make no mistake, that man is a racist, and he trying to get black people killed. He trying to get some nut out there to target black people and kill them, to shoot up a Black Lives Matter protest like they did in Minnesota. Remember when the Black Lives Matter people were occupying that police precinct up there in Minnesota? I think it was in Minneapolis, matter of fact. And what? You had these white guys videotaping themselves in the car with their guns and talking about what they gonna go and do to these den dudes, using, you know, derogatory language towards non-white people and whatnot. And they go out there and they shot five people. I ain't hear any of these politicians come out, or any of these police union spokesmen come out and say, we condemn this act of violence against Black Lives Matter. Innocent protesters, unarmed, just out there exercising their First Amendment right. Ain't see Alex Jones, you know, shooting out any kind of inflammatory headlines about white domestic terrorists in this country or whatnot. So I'm, you know, just saying, if you spend the money with Alex Jones buying, you know, because they sell a whole lot of prepping type stuff and books and stuff, stop. Don't get that man your money. Don't get that man. Find a bootleg copy or something. Don't get that man your money. All right? And if you're a black person and you've been on his program, you should boycott his program. He's a racist who's putting out propaganda that the police ain't even putting out, and trying to get black people killed. So anyway, let me see, what else do I got for you? Let's listen to, oh, I see we got some callers. I'm obviously going over this hour. Let me go ahead and hit the phone lines. But after we hit the phone lines, I do want to play, well, before I hit the phone lines, because it's not that long, I want to play this clip of this young black man making a very compelling case in terms of Americans being killed in this country. I don't know the young man's name, but he was participating in some protests. I'm not sure of the location either, but let me go ahead and cue that up for you. It gives his name, but I'm not going to tell you his name. Don't need his name. Just need to hear what he has.
Killed by the police. Three of them have been black. One of them had a legal firearm. So it's just like, you know, can we, you know, how can we live like this? If any other institution, if any other organization in the world was killing an American citizen every 28 hours, we would drop bombs on that. But because it's here in America, and because this is the police and we're supposed to 100% respect the police, this is somehow okay. There's nowhere else in the world that killing two Americans every day would be okay.
Very brief and to the point, and I think he made a great observation. You know, anywhere else, if Americans was being killed like this and being targeted like this, you know, they would drop bombs on that country. They've dropped bombs on countries for less than that. But it's okay. Now, obviously, he was being tongue-in-cheek. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he knows, like I know from looking at the data, that, you know, while black people are killed the most by police, other groups are not immune from it. You know, I'm thinking about Zachary Hammond in South Carolina, gunned down by a cop over some freaking weed. So, but I think he was right on point with that young black man was on point with that observation. It's okay for them to kill us. That's the message that's being sent. Let's go to area code 678. Go ahead with your question or comment. 678. Last 4, 1169.
Please, Scotty. I didn't dial in for another comment. I'm not sure if it showed up as though I did.
Oh, okay. Never mind. But thank you anyway. I'll put you back on mute. All right. Sure. Let me go to somebody who used the flash phone. I don't know your name, but your mic is open. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hello, good afternoon. How are you? Well, I know how you are, but how we all are. But hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello.
Okay. Hi. Again, a wonderful show. The first lady who called about being at war, I've agreed with that since before she said it. Mm-hmm. And not that we need white people to, you know, back up what we're saying, but I guess there was a former congressman, and I guess he hosts a radio show. His name is Joe Walsh. He put out some tweets saying pretty much we are at war, and how he coming after Obama and the Black Lives Matter punks. The article was in USA Today. It says, ex-politician on Dallas, this is war, watch out Obama.
And that's what he ended up deleting
it. So if we didn't know we were at war, this white man is telling us, we're at war, we're coming to get you. And he sent out a tweet like, the real Americans are going to get you. So I guess the real Americans are I would think they were the Native Americans, but they don't have a problem with us. So I guess he thinks the real Americans are the white people that are coming to get us.
Yeah, I saw that report.
Yeah, so if we don't know, you know, you think the other black, because we do that a lot, unfortunately. We think other black people are saying things that they're crazy and they're making it up. No, we're at war. He just said so. And also, I guess, you know, they always say turn the other cheek. I think they're going to start to realize that black people are out of cheeks. We don't have any more cheeks to turn. This is nothing else. And I think, unfortunately, you know, this is going to continue. I do feel bad about the poor man who felt he had to take these extreme measures to do what he did. But I mean, you read what you sow. I hate to say it like that, because you do hate for anyone to die, but
right.
The system was set up based on slavery. These acts have occurred, like that man almost killed that child when he killed the man in the car, and then I guess one other point with the media, like you said, you really can't trust them, even though they try to sound nice. Like this one lady yesterday, I was watching CNN, this white lady, oh, it was so horrible, this is just so horrible. And they showed the video of the young woman who was, you know, reliving the story of her boyfriend being shot. And then she goes, well, if we believe what she posted, I'm like, what do you mean if she believes? She did not turn into Shonda Rhimes to make up a script to put on TV. That is what happened. I don't know. I mean, you're not in court right now. You don't have to be a legal analyst. You are a person. You saw what happened. Who would make that up to put their child through something horrible
exactly.
like that?
And she wasn't...
So like you said, you can't...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but just to add to your point, officials were saying, well, all the video shows is the aftermath. We don't know what happened before. But like you just said, very logically, who was going to make up a lie like that right on the spot? You know, I mean, her reaction was instantaneous to her fiance being killed, and she said it just as calmly right there as he lay next to her dying. You told him to get his wallet and stuff, and he told you he was getting it. So, you know, that's just crazy for anybody to suggest that this woman is lying, because she's not.
And like she said, who would make up something like that? Like she said, well, her child is in the car. And I think that put me over the edge. I don't need to watch another film. Not that I didn't believe black people before, but I'm just going to take your word for it. And then I have to, like you said, come up with some plans, like the first caller said, to help somehow by either making more money to give to a cause or something. I don't know. But I don't need to watch any more movies, any more film. The real snuff films, not with that crazy white lady last week was about with Kanye West. These are the real snuff films showing these poor innocent people. And then that's another thing. If this black man attacked the police like they are rumoring, he did not go against weak people. The police are going after weak people who cannot defend themselves. He went against the police. They were prepared. They know what to do.
They weren't unarmed victims.
That's right. They were not.
Do you have anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing. Let's go to the next caller. Area code 561. Is this you again, Sin?
Yeah, this is me again, Scotty. Man, I apologize, man.
Oh,
I
no
gotta,
need.
I got very nope. excited, man.
No need to apologize. You got a report for us?
Oh man, routine pullover. I was coming down a main street in Boynton. Routine pullover. It was a SUV patrol car. Pulled him over. Almost immediately as he put on his lights, the guy pulled right over. Also, almost instantaneously, as soon as in the patrol car. They were regular patrol. Two of them, no, one of them jumped out with a vest on. He jumped out with a dog. Almost immediately, a black undercover Impala pulled up. Three detectives jumped out. Right after they got out, Scotty, I ain't never seen nothing like this, except for on TV, because I've never been in the military, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Not even MPs. They look like excuse my terminology, jawheads. They look like
Marines.
Real.
You're talking about Marines. You said jarheads, just for people that don't know, you know, that term that refers to Marines.
Yeah, I apologize. But they, oh man, it was just all I could see, Scotty, was Eric Garner, Walter Skye, the two young men just got killed just over and over. Trayvon, that's all I seen, because when they jumped out, they were with full gear, military style assault rifles, guns on their side.
For a traffic stop?
Like they had grenades. Scotty, ain't nothing going on in Boynton. The only thing going on in Boynton right now is drug rehab houses popping up in the neighborhoods where it's normally black people. And the black people getting forced out further and further to wherever they end up at. ain't there's no kind of rallies, no kind of, there's nothing going on. What is the military? And I could be wrong. They could be police officers dressed up in military.
That's
why
true.
Why dress up in full military gear from head to toe? I mean, the toenails had to be camouflaged, Scotty. It was mind-blowing.
One thing that just came to my mind is not that long ago, man, we was reporting on the Jade Helm exercises that was going across the South, going on. You remember Jade Helm, where the military was doing exercises with law enforcement?
Oh, but is this the remnants of it? Is it still going on?
Well, possibly, you know, that's the regular relationship they gonna have with police now. I'm not sure. Now, they're not, I would doubt, but anything's possible because, you know, they break laws all the time. But active duty military are not supposed to be deployed within the United States. So they would have to be National Guardsmen or, you know, possibly, I don't even think they can use reservists, you know, because reservists are part of the regular army, except for, you know, they're not on active duty all the time. So that's probably a attachment of National Guard or something. But like you said, it could also be police. We saw in Ferguson how they was dressed up in their military gear and stuff.
Yep, how they were militarized in Ferguson. You're right. But just like you just said, they break the law all the time. They lie all the time. So, you know, to unsuspecting people, they get away with this stuff all day. And, you know, I was listening to all the callers, and I just want to say real quick, there's a lot of young men like myself across this country, Scotty, that, you know, ex-prisoners, have done, you know, one or more bids in prison, have been pretty much ostracized from that society and have had to just survive any kind of way they can. I don't know how best codified to say it, but in my eyes, this is the perfect militia, if I can, you know what I'm saying? Or if that's
I hear what you're saying.
Because you know what I'm saying. So, to organize it is something else. That's going to be the monster. You know, if somebody was to take somebody or somebodies were to take on a mission like this. But man, and like I said, you're talking about the majority of black males in my age group that have hit that crux. Like, we grew up saying, excuse my language, F a PA cracker, you know what I'm saying? And now to be at our age, and to be mature in our age, I've grown up like that, and to see the snuff films back to back to back, it's the warrior. I see it in them, but the organization, we're not organized. The reason I believe that young lady was so almost like calm while she was speaking, I think epigenetics. I think being traumatized generation by having to deal with that, being brutalized and go on with it, I think that's what helped her, because nobody in their right, you know, nobody sane could sit there, you know, why that was going on, unless they had been that in their, you know, that in their DNA.
Or she could have been called.
Also, besides watching it day by day on TV.
Because I do believe they would have shot her if she'd even reached back there to comfort her child.
Yes,
they
would
have shot her.
Yes, he would have. He would have unloaded on her the same way. And regardless if it was on camera. Because I'm noticing, it don't even matter if you record. Because just like you said, they've been doing this. The only reason you seeing it is because witnesses are picking this up. It ain't like some of the media stumbling upon it and exposing. No. These people with their camera phones or what cell phones or whatever, and they just recording it.
Right.
And other than that, we would not know these things. We know they're going on, but we would not have the proof and the evidence of how they were going on. And as you say, yeah, it's something in the air. It is something in the air. You people are like, our people are more so like, hey, you know what? I'm ready to go to war, because they starting to wake up and realize more and more, we at war. So
interestingly,
I don't know, Scott. Man.
Interestingly, I've been hearing that sort of war talk. People saying, sounding like, you know, we've exhausted every option, so now it's time to go to war. I've been hearing this from people older than me, elders who are saying this. And that kind of like shocked me. Yeah.
It kind of put you back.
Yeah, it kind of, I was like, man, you know, you really saying that? I was like, damn, you know, you must really be hurt.
They tired of it too.
Yeah,
there's only so much you can take as a human, you know, as a human being. Right. Yeah, you grew up, you know, trying to be included, trying to fit in, trying to get the degrees and the jobs and all those things. But you see, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, it don't even work. It don't matter. It's just like our leaders, just like they all want it for us. We need to coalesce around each other. We need to pull in. And we need to be our own nation. We need not deal with nobody else. We need to get our thing together. Then once we get our nation together, start saving our people in Brazil and then all over the world, period. But these specific places, New Guinea and you know, some of these other places where the slaughter of melanated people is just systematic.
Yeah.
It's just like a you know, chopping block. Man, we have to. But I know, Scotty, if somebody were to take on that task, man, the people you would pull out of it, straight warriors. You know, talking, you know, we would be soldiers, but we would be warriors on the field. That's all I gotta say, man. I'm a mute and listen to you. I appreciate the show too, Scotty. I appreciate you.
All right, thank you, Sam. All right, the next caller, please hang on. I need to take our last station identification break of the day, and then we'll pick up your call on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, want to remind you, we do have the Crowdfunding Black Media ongoing campaign, because the type of media operations we are engaged in, we will not get any corporate advertisers. Not that I'm looking for any. We don't, as a nonprofit, apply for any kind of grants from the government or anything. We want to maintain our independence, and the only way we can maintain our independence is not to be reliant on anyone else for anything. All right. So if you think that black media matters, if you think black radio stations matter, please consider making a donation of any amount. Every little bit helps to our Crowdfunding Black Media campaign. Let's go to the next caller. And let me see. That is, I believe it's, area code 707. I think you're the next caller. Did you speak yet, or do I have the right person? 707?
What, Sam? Oh, 707, yes. This is California.
Hey, thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
Okay, I just wanted to say thank you for continuing with Black Talk Radio. You guys have been real instrumental, even here in California, in our black community and addressing black issues. So, did you want me to identify my name, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. So, what I wanted to say was this. How is it that we can just really sit and watch America be so outraged about these officers, these five officers being murdered, which, of course, nobody should lose their life. We get that. But we're so outraged and up in arms that the five have been murdered, while we know millions of black people have been just shot and slaughtered like animals. So on the one end, of course we can be sympathetic and have feelings for those people, those five officers that were, I guess, white and whatever that one was. But you mean to tell me we're not supposed to feel, and we're not supposed to have the conversation and be outraged about the current killings as well as all the others? And I'm conflicted because every time I see people that look like me, my black people being murdered, and, you know, the families get up there, I'm conflicted because, yes, there's a name, Trayvon, Eric Gardner or whatever, but this is not an individual issue. This is an issue about the war on black people.
Right.
Men, women, babies, grandparents, none of us are immune. We are the targets of these white supremacists, these racist law enforcement systems that, even if it is caught on camera, even if you do got body cameras, as we know,
right,
two of them conveniently fell off and they don't work, right, when we need them to work.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they worked and you bring the evidence for it, what good is it if you have law enforcement or the court system that let them go?
Right.
So that's one thing. But I also, and I came in late, so I don't know if I'm being redundant, but remember Christopher, is it Dorner or
yes,
Dorner? Dorner, right?
Christopher Dorner.
He
I
was
here in
California. Yeah, he was the cop in California,
mm-hmm,
that put out that warning to say, hey, we got to start putting light on the corruption within law enforcement.
Right.
They called them crazy and everything else. And what did they do? The same thing they just did to this Xavier. They killed him so that they couldn't really tell the truth of whatever was going on.
So there'll be no
they
trial.
They decided that, mm-hmm, they would be executioner and God at the same time, as opposed to letting justice take its course, right?
Right. Right. Right, yeah. Christopher Dorner also had military training as well.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, he put out a whole manifesto about why he did what he did. And he was one of those cops, you know, and I'm one of these people that I will acknowledge. Now, every police officer is out here looking to do somebody harm. But the institution of policing in this country is undeniably linked to slave catching. To slave, putting us into modern day slavery. And if a slave get killed in the process, then, oh, well, that's just the cost of doing business. You know what I'm saying? In terms of why they don't, when you say they, I'm assuming you mean the majority of Americans, and we know they're white, why they don't get as outraged as they are about cops being killed as these, you know, black men, women, and children being killed. Well, it's scientifically been proven that the majority of white people have very low empathy for non-white people. They don't have any empathy for us. And like my mom said yesterday, you know, as she was listening to some of these pundits blaming on training, police training, they need to have better training than this. She said they gotten the training that's relevant to what they're doing. They've been trained to be racist since they were children, and it's just manifesting itself through their work. So
that's right. And I want to be clear, I'm not pointing to all the white people. I'm talking about them white ones with that attitude, that privilege, that supremacist, racist, you know, bigot attitude. Because, yeah, we've got some of them who, you know, have a sense of justice and, you know, are out there marching with us. I get them. So, and obviously they know we're not talking about them because they're right there with us fighting against the injustice. I'm pointing to these bigots who self-righteous. You know, they can mourn and feel all the sympathy and support for these who, you know, officers and their families who's been killed. But on the same token, they can turn right around and look at us and turn their nose up at the black people who's been killed with, you know, no consideration for the effect that it has on their families.
Right.
And then we look at media like Don Lemon and this woman who interviewed this black firefighter. I don't know if you've seen that. And, you know, he's just like all of us. He was reacting out of the anger and the hopelessness, and he tweeted on there, you know, about his feelings of his black people being murdered. And she gets the camera in his face and starts asking him, well, you're saying it's okay for you to do, for this to happen to the black officers. Not one time she mentioned anything about the black family. Mind you, she a black woman. And it was, I guess, Fox 5 or something, D.C. And then after everybody jumped on her, then she starts talking, oh, I got a black husband, I'm about to have a baby. But yet and still, you felt it was okay to grandstand for these racists on camera at the expense of the suffering that the black community is going through, as well as the black people that have been, you know, killed in the past and present. It's like we're supposed to ignore all of that. It's like, no, I don't think so. And how about the black officer, the black woman officer who got on Facebook and let her feelings out and said, hey, I'm one of them good cops. And by the way, my dad was a cop. He was a policeman for 25 years and a sheriff for 15. So, you know, I was raised in that environment. So I know it, and I feel I have the right to speak on it. You know, even mm-hmm. if I did not have the right to speak, but even more so seeing it from the inside, this black woman cop got on Facebook and let out her feelings and called out the dirty cops, and then right. they turn around and fire her. So, you know, I want to
well,
say
good for her. Good for her.
All of us need to come to her aid and help her as well.
Yeah, help her find another profession where she ain't participating in slave catching, you know.
So, well, there you go, too.
Right, right. Even though she may not realize it, and again, a lot of people don't even recognize that slavery was never abolished. But I heard a conversation where some people were saying the solution to these problems is to get more black people to become cops, to, you know, to work in the system. But that, you know, based off the evidence I have seen, the cops in Memphis, Tennessee, come out in mass and say we're being discriminated against in pay. It's a hostile work environment. I seen that white detective in Baltimore who got fired, who caught two uniformed officers beating a suspect, and he turned them in and he testified against those cops, and they ended up firing him. But before they fired him, his name was Joe Glass, by the way, before they fired him, they was terrorizing him and his wife. You know, and then there was a white cop in New York City who said that I don't think it's right that you're making us fill these quotas and causing us to go out here and make enemies of the community and whatnot. And they fired him. First, they tried to get him killed by putting him in dangerous areas by himself. And then, you know, he ended up having to file a lawsuit. And so, you know, then I'm reminded by the white cop in Oregon who exposed his police chief, who was making monkey sounds and imitating a monkey and talking about this black woman they arrested. But instead of that predominantly white town and white mayor praising this white cop for standing up for justice and against racism and white supremacy, they started the whole community targeted that cop. And even drove his wife into a ditch, forced her car off the road. So, you know, anybody want to look for a cause for last night, then you look at the police departments. You look at what's going on in these police departments. Your actions are, quote unquote, radicalizing people and forcing them to go to extreme measures. When there is no accountability, you tell us to look to the courts and let the law handle it. Well, we know the law wasn't written for us, and they not held account. Look at all them Baltimore cops getting off. You know, and now they're going after the black prosecutor who tried to prosecute them. So.
Right, and I was going to say that as well, exactly. And it makes me think of also, I know the officers here, the black officers there in San Francisco, also had filed lawsuit years ago on the basis of discrimination and kind of pointing to all the things that you said. And so, you know, that is the hopelessness. Like you said, the police department and then the prosecutors. Because, yeah, they might charge them, but do they convict them? And then the Justice Department steps in, and it always ends up nothing. So it's like they ain't surprised, just like they're swift to retaliate or go after somebody that is hurt white, then why is it they don't expect that they got it coming?
Right, right. So, I mean, I'm really at a loss for words, but if they want to solve this problem, like my brother Max said, end slavery. See, nobody talking about ending slavery in this country, which is the number one driver of police interactions with the public and whatnot. So if we really want to address these problems, the president convening another commission that's going to come up with some toothless recommendations is not going to solve this problem. All right, they need to solve the problem of slavery. Stop practicing slavery. Stop trying to catch slaves. Stop trying to write a bunch of tickets so that you can fill, you know, the city coffers and whatnot. People are just getting tired of this. All throughout history, people have a breaking point. And I think that black people in this country, other non-white people, and people who believe in justice are all of this. They're tired of it. They're tired of it. And so
that's right. Yeah. And we need to show Obama too, because you know I will never forget, and I'm not going to let anybody else forget. One of the first things he got up there and said is, "I'm not the president of Black America."
Right.
We understood he had to be for everybody, but he didn't make that distinction for every other interest group that asked him to do things that he supported them unconditionally and did it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we can start with him, too. He ain't the whole cause, but he under him, it definitely has escalated to this level of disrespect.
Right.
That, you know, that we see where we're just not to be considered at all. And then you see it took him days to respond to this. And then when he does, he's so careful and he won't call out these racist people. He dances around that. But when that Sandy Hook issue happened, he was on it on the spot, shedding tears, getting all the support in place for that community. I think that young man's mom had said, she hasn't even been contacted yet
by
anyone,
nobody.
Right?
No, yeah. The young man that was killed, Castillo, killed in Minnesota. Yeah, she's like, they won't even let me see my son's body and whatnot.
Wow.
And so it's been days, you know, since he's been killed. They still ain't seen the body. No investigator has come to talk to her or anyone in the family. Matter of fact, and I heard they even arrested the black woman, his fiance, who recorded his murder and whatnot and arrested her and was holding her in jail. I think she's out now. Well, I know she's out now, but they took her to jail.
She said they held her for 5 or 6 hours. No food, no water, no nothing. And see, oh, that's what I wanted to remember to say, too. You know, while we're talking about, you know, the whites, but you got a lot of these racist Asians, too. And, you know, they're quick to be trigger happy. I know here in California, they're quick to pull you over and harass you as well, because, you know, they've got that syndrome as well,
mm-hmm.
where they chase after white and they want to do everything to please and appease. But, you know, we need to call them all out, all of them.
Right.
Until they're willing to honestly, you know, address them issues, they're going to continue to have more of these, because like they said, the boiling point has well been reached. It has well boiled over. It's a volcano now, you know, and it's like folks is to the point where I don't even think there is no turning back. How long has it taken? You know, I think we're dealing with modern day lynching and slavery. It's just we look back then and say, oh, my God, we would have never put up with that. But look at what we're putting up with here.
Right. Right. Well, I got to move on to the next. We got one more caller. I want to thank you, California, for calling in and sharing your views. And don't let it be the last time.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We're going to take our last caller coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll be Tando Radio Show hosted by Brother Dave. So make sure y'all stay tuned for that. Let's go to area code 678. Area code 678. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm surviving.
Yeah, I hear that. Good, good, good. Well, I mean, I have a few things. First, I want to say that I'm a proud supporter of your network.
Thank you.
And yes, and I think that on days like today, it's crucial that we have networks like the Black Talk Media Network to counter just the dishonesty that is the mainstream news, because I've been watching the coverage all day, and I've seen one or two things. Either the reports have been dishonest and or they've been inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with people addressing why, you know, why is this happening? You know, you hear everything, but actually the reason. And, you know, you hear that, well, you know, we need more training. Or you hear, well, you know, that this shooter was crazy. Or that, you know, that this shooter was deranged. I think President Obama said that his actions were despicable. Just all types of adjectives to demean the person that did the, you know, that did the shooting. But no one is addressing the cause. What's the root cause? And I think that's by design. I don't think that's because people are, or at least white people anywhere, are confused. I think that's because this is a way for them to deflect any kind of culpability on their part.
Right.
So I don't call that inaccurate. I call that dishonest.
Deception. Yeah, people. They just being deceptive.
Yes, they're being deceptive. And you have a lot of black people that are afraid of white people, and they want to make white people feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
See, I look at what happened last night as that in its purest form, that's what black self-respect looks like. You see, this man decided, hey, you know, I'm tired of being mistreated, and I'm not going to take it anymore, and I'm ending it tonight, but I'm taking some of those that I feel are culpable with me. And that's exactly what that is. That's what you call self-respect. You know, someone is, you know, black people as a group, you know, we're getting kicked in the mouth, we're getting stomped, smacked around continuously. And so you say you have someone that decided to make the ultimate sacrifice, and no one has said anything along those lines. And I think that's exactly what it is. People are afraid when, you know, when there's a black person that decides to have any type of self-respect. That's point one. You all mentioned about being at war and how, you know, how now we're at war. But the problem with that is that, well, I mean, we've been at war. I mean, since we were brought here.
Let me clarify something right quick, caller. And okay, we got about 3 minutes until the top mm-hmm. of the hour. We got another program coming on, and it's going to be an open discussion. So please mm-hmm. hang on, and if you want to participate in that as well. But here, let me clarify something. I said this about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
We are not in a war. War is being waged on us. We are
exactly
not on a
right.
war.
Yep.
Okay, a war consists of two armies battling each other on the battlefield. That is not what's
right.
happening here in America. War is being waged on us. We're being enslaved,
right.
and war is being waged on. We are not at war with anyone.
That's right. That's right. I completely agree. Because, again, for the most part, we've just been abused. You see, so you're exactly right. The war is being waged on us. And what we saw last night was an example of a black person that's saying, I'm not taking the mistreatment, and was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. But that's unusual. So, yeah, to your point, yeah, it's us that's being abused. And so they're at war with us. And to just kind of piggyback off of that idea is that I'm finding that we're still not really understanding the why part. Why are they acting this way? And I think we have to really come to grips with that. The fact that white and black just do not mix. And it's not on the black end. It's white people not wanting to mix with black people. They still have a problem with just coexisting with black people. To me, that's what explains all their behavior. You know, you all on your show talk about modern day slavery, But, you know, modern-day slavery is not the end-all, be-all. That's just a symptom of the bigger problem, which is white supremacy. That is the problem. And that's the thing that no one wants to say is white supremacy. White do not mix with black. And I think that there was a sign that a white person had up that just kind of sums it up all well and said, diversity equals white genocide. That's exactly the premise that these people operate on. And I think we all would do much better if we operated within the same context. Things would be much clearer.
All right. Well, the last thing I'll say about that is that when we talk about slavery being the problem, we're talking about what the government is doing, what the state is doing, what the governments are doing, the so-called authorities are doing. But in terms of racism and white supremacy, that's something that anybody can practice and do, and the majority of them do practice it. But from my studies, racism, like when we're talking about institutional racism and when we're talking about laws being passed that target black people, those came out of the slave codes. If you look up the Virginia slave codes, you will see that it's the first piece of legislation that was enacted on this continent that started stripping free black people of their rights to own this or own that or to even defend themselves. So, you know, both of them are a problem. So, you know, it's not a point of argument. We just might have a different point of view, but we do recognize the common enemy, though. So I just wanted to say that.
What I'm saying is that one encompasses all. Like, what I'm saying is that the slavery that you mentioned, I'm saying that's just a symptom of white supremacy. That's just a symptom. So you know, people use the term 21st century modern day slavery and mass incarceration. I don't say mass incarceration.
I don't either.
Okay, it's slavery. Let me call it that. It's slavery, but the slavery results from a group of people that believe they are superior.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
That's true, and we're in agreement on that. All right.
But yeah, I'll let you go, man. I know I don't want to hold you, but again, I love your show, and more importantly, I love your effort, because, I mean, believe me, this is definitely needed. I mean, I feel like I've gotten a much-needed break being able to listen to your network and just tune out all that crap I've been listening to all day on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox.
All right, brother. Thank you for being a supporter of the network, and you have a blessed day.
Oh, okay. You too.
All right, let me go ahead and clear the caller's
queue.
Q&A queue
is cleared.
We're a little bit over. We're about to transition to Tando Radio Show. But the last thing, I'll just cover this next week, but the State Department has reopened its probe into Hillary Clinton and her mishandling of classified information. Representative Trey Gowdy exposed FBI Director James Comey as a fraud. Okay, and so you know, I was the first person I saw that put a question out there: how can Hillary Clinton run for president when her security clearance should be revoked based off of everything they said she did? So now the State Department is reopening its probe into Hillary Clinton. So that's something we'll take a look at next week. Let me say this though. In reference to John Lewis, again, like one of the callers said, we have to call these people out. It's not to call them out just to be talking bad about somebody or to be critical of somebody. No, it's so that we can point out to ourselves, to other people, and primarily our children, what is incorrect behavior in this system under these current conditions. And I felt like John Lewis is really on this run of showing lack of black self-respect whatsoever. This is what he had to say about last night's attack on the Dallas police officers. I was beaten bloody by police officers, but I never hated them. I said, thank you for your service. Now, John Lewis, if you think I believe that, then you must think me a fool. I don't think you was thanking none of them cops who was putting batons upside your head, thanking them for their service. So this is just nonsense. It shows a lack of black self-respect. Did he thank the FBI and the U.S. government for their service in killing Martin Luther King? Did he thank them for their service in killing Malcolm X? Did he thank the Chicago police officers for their service in murdering Fred Hampton Jr.? Come on now. I don't understand why people in his constituency keep sending this man back to Washington, D.C. But again, like I've said over the past week, I'm going to start correcting my language. This is not a black congressman. There is no such thing as no congressional black Congress. These are United States representatives or United States senators. To say black representative or a black senator or even a black president gives the impression that they work for us, that they are looking out for our best interests as a community, and they're simply not. These are U.S. congressmen and women. Let's stop calling them black, because they not. That's all I got for you. Tando Radio Show coming up right in about a minute. Thank you all for sharing your thoughts, all those who called in and those who tuned in. Remember, again, we do have the ongoing crowdfunding black media campaign. Again, the corporate media is going to lie to you, all right? They destroy independent black radio for a reason, because they don't want us having these sort of intimate discussions and dialogues among ourselves. All right. So thank you to all who have made a donation to our crowdfunding campaign as we continue to do what I feel like is one of our most important missions, and that's providing a platform for black people to exchange information and, more importantly, to get the right information. Peace and blessings to all y'all. Be safe.